Hey, Bulldogs fans, it's time for the AC All Access Show, brought to you by Adrian College and Frickers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
Well, happy 2026, everybody, and welcome back to the AC All Access Show. Semester number two here from Frickers in Adrian, as Adrian College Bulldogs got a little semester break academically. There were some athletic events over the Christmas and New Year's break, so thanks for everyone being a part of this show. We are a weekly show, Monday night, 7 to 8 at Frickers in Adrian. I'm your host, Ian Wendt. We have Josh Mitchell, our engineer for tonight and most every other Monday night. And how we've been starting off these shows this season, we bring in the sports information director over at Adrian College. Something about excellence under 30 with SID stuff. We have Mike Prang with us again. Thanks for getting back on. And we got some great athletes to talk to later on, but we want to do a big old recap of what happened over break.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks.
It has. It's been three. They got some time off. Probably the biggest highlight was one of the younger programs on campus bringing home a trophy.
Yeah, Cornhole National Championship. It's one of the unique sports across the country and everything, but it's good enough to get on ESPN, and that's exactly what Alex Weaver did, and he won the collegiate singles bracket on Friday night. Aired on ESPN Plus. You can go rewatch it there, and I guess it's also on Disney Plus too.
Okay.
But yeah, so he brought home a national championship, 118 person bracket, single elimination. He made it all the way and brought home the first cornhole championship, national championship in Adrian history, and it's the 32nd individual to win a national championship at Adrian College across all sports. So
wow,
yeah, pretty big news there.
Single elimination is something.
Yes.
You see a lot. Almost everything's double,
mm-hmm.
right? You lose one. All right, you can bounce back. It's one and done.
Yeah.
And that's ultra competitive, and it's not only a race to 21. You are not time restrained, but you can only throw a certain number of times before you got to call it at some point.
Yeah, so it's either first to 21 or it's a 12-round match.
12-round, yeah.
So the championship, championship and the semis, neither guy got to 21, but they went all 12 rounds competing against each other. Because, I mean, when it comes to deep into the bracket, could be watching each other out every round. So yeah, you have to put some sort of a cap on there. So, yeah, but both the semis and the championship went all 12 rounds, and Alex Weaver came out ahead.
And one of the very unique things about that sport is it's across all divisions, right? I mean, he's going up against guys and gals from all over the country.
Yeah, earlier this year we competed in a tournament at the University of Tennessee. We went to Wisconsin-Whitewater. We played Winthrop University. They're a very solid program. And entering this is the first year they've had enough college teams where they did kind of a weekly rankings poll. Mm-hmm. And entering the championship, we were, as a team, Adrian College is ranked number 2 in the country, just behind Winthrop. So
who ended up winning? The team won, didn't they?
The team event, Winthrop won that, mm-hmm. along with the doubles event. But Alex Weaver defeated, I forget who he defeated, but Winthrop didn't even make the Final Four.
Oh, in the singles.
For the singles. So it was nice, and a couple upsets along the way. Coach Benedict told me today, he goes, it's kind of the equivalent to like a 12 seed winning the March Madness tournament. So it was pretty awesome there.
That's very cool. And talking with Coach before break, he talked about team size. He said it's not the largest team he's had, but I'm pretty sure he said it was maybe the most talented one he's had, and kind of showed up there down in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, he told me he brought 12 individuals down that all qualified for the ACL National Championships. The past years we only had 6 or 8, but this year we had 12.
All right, moving from cornhole to hockey. Men's NCAA squad, they did play 4 games since we last talked. They had a couple against Hiram. Combined score, I think that was 18-0 in those two at home. And then this past weekend, went down to the Chicago area to play Aurora, and lost a game down there and lost one up here last Friday. But kind of two polar opposite opponents. Hiram, a new team, and and Aurora are very familiar with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, the only issue playing in Hiram was it wasn't great for our strength of schedule, but what helped our strength of schedule was playing the number four team in the country back-to-back to kind of bounce back. But, I mean, those games against those first-year programs, I think it definitely helps get a little bit of a confidence boost out of some people. You know, somebody that's maybe struggling to score and, you know, you go in a game and put up 10 goals and then 8 goals, that's great. And then, you know, the long break, I talked with Coach Phillips after Friday night's game. He felt that some guys were still on break and we got to get that figured out pretty quickly. What is nice is, you know, our two losses to Aurora were not conference games. So we still sit first place in the NCHA. That's big for us. And obviously those two tough opponent games help our strength of schedule get back a little bit higher.
Yeah, it's an iron sharpens iron type of deal where the NCHA is still a highly rated conference in D3 hockey. You look at Adrian, you look at Aurora, St. Norbert, Trine is still kind of in the mix, and that's Adrian's next opponent. I believe they play them on Tuesday this week.
Thursday against Trine on the road, and then exhibition on Friday at USA up in Plymouth.
That again is a non-conference for Trine, but it helps that computer ranking, right? The NPI, that does give you some credit for your strength of schedule, right?
Yes, because, you know, beating a team like Trine is going to do better for us than beating a team like Hiram, and that's where the whole strength of schedule comes in. That's included into that computerized ranking, so... you know, the women kind of struggle with the strength of schedule, and that's because our competition isn't the greatest in conference on the women's side. So that's why, like the men, they have to go out and they have to play non-conference games against Trine and Aurora to get that strength of schedule up to help us down the stretch. If in the event we don't win the Harris Cup, we still have a shot to get an at-large bid.
Right, and that winning it obviously gets you a little more boost, but you do get something just for having the game on the schedule, or... do you not get any, quote, credit for playing the game?
It's not so much, like, whether you play the game or not. It's lose. Like, had we lost to Hiram, we would have dropped significantly than losing to Aurora. You know, like, after a Friday night, we were number four in the MPI after Friday night. We lost to Aurora. We moved to number five.
Had we lost to three or two.
Correct. And had we lost to a team like Hiram, we would have moved from four to, like, 25.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, plenty to get to on the season for the men's team, the NCAA side. Women's NCAA squad, they're getting back from a road trip out east to Mooresville, New York. They went 3-2 during this break. Some tough competition in there with Gustavus Adolphus. I think weren't they number two when we played it, or the ranking is split between the coaches and the NPI, but playing in that championship of that tournament. Oh, sorry, Amherst. I'm looking at the wrong school. I'll just let you pick me up from me falling on my face.
We played Gustavus Adolphus two games on the road. Gustavus ranked number 8 in the country.
That was West.
That was
right?
The trip out west.
That was the West trip. Yeah.
Yep, in Minnesota. So lost the first game 3-1, and then a nice 2-0 shutout. Nice performance by Kira Stack in goal. And, we defense held on to beat them 2-0, so we split that series. Had a little non-conference against Trine at home. Wasn't our best game, but glad we had that as our first game back. Still pulled out the win 6-4, and then defeated Trinity in the tournament, and then we lost to number 2, Amherst, at a neutral site. Came down to the wire at the end. Adrian held a 1-0 lead for 55 minutes, and penalties late in the game change the outcome sometimes. So
that's right. That's one of those they put on the schedule, helps your strength of the schedule. We'll see how it plays out with the conference. I want to get to basketball real quick. They were pretty busy as well. The women's side, they had a very nice conference victory the other day against Albion. That was on Saturday. Men's team kind of struggled over break, 0-3, but they have yet to play a conference game, which is weird that the men haven't played one. The women have, what, 4 or 5 in the book already?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because there's one more team on the women's side with St. Mary's in conference, so you do have to play a couple beforehand because you have two more conference games than the men do. So that's why the women have to start before Christmas break. But nice win for them. A very, very slow start going down 15-0, but coming back and winning by 4. Was a good win for them overall. Men, yeah, they struggled in their final non-conference games, but hopefully we've shaken off kind of the dust, and we've figured our stuff out where we can go into conference strong and Kalamazoo this week on Wednesday and then Calvin on Saturdays to kick off the MIAA season.
I was going to say, other teams we're looking at, we got women's wrestling, men's wrestling. The men are going to stay home, it looks like.
Yep, the men have an Adrian Open again on Saturday. That's kind of our last event before we start conference duels. So Coach Schindel is using that as kind of a get some guys some matches, a bench kind of tournament before we go into conference duels next Tuesday.
All right, good stuff as always. Go to AdrianBulldogs.com for the latest, or just go to the Adrian College app. That thing's still up and running, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good stuff. Well, Prang, thanks for getting me through that hockey debacle. That's what happens when you don't have a show every week. You kind of forget what goes on, but good work as always from you and your staff, and we'll get to some of these student-athletes.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be back with more on the AC All Access Show right after this quick break. We'll hear from Frickers of Adrian, and we'll hear from Adrian College, and then we go to the NCAA men's hockey team. Familiar name. Familiar guy. We'll talk with David Clark right after these messages right here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Wednesday at 7 and Saturday at 3, bring the family to watch men's basketball. The men's wrestling meet starts at 10 a.m. Saturday, and women's D2 hockey plays Sunday at 1.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Wednesday at 7 and Saturday at 3, bring the family to watch men's basketball. The men's wrestling meet starts at 10 a.m. Saturday, and women's D2 hockey plays Sunday at 1.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Welcome back out to Frickers and Adrian for the AC All Access Show. We're live till 8 o'clock tonight. No Monday Night Football for us today, so it's just Adrian College Talk till 8. We have Josh Mitchell running things in our downtown studios. I'm Ian Wen out here at Frickers. Don't forget their lunch specials, their weekday specials, their happy hour, 3 to 6, then 9 till close. My dinner today was the boneless chicken. Caesar side salad and like two pretzel bites because Stacy's son ate about 35 of the 40 that were in the basket. But hey, he's a growing kid. We're going to talk some NCAA women's hockey in a little bit, also some men's volleyball. But we'll kick off our 2026 calendar talking NCAA men's hockey. Again, familiar name for the area, David Clark, a sophomore defenseman from all the way over in Tecumseh. He's an assistant captain this year. David, thanks for getting on the show and talking.
Thanks for having me.
Well, were you on last year?
I wasn't on this.
Okay, so. Well, I got to ask you then, why did you decide to stay home? What was kind of the path to get to Adrian College?
I mean, growing up, I was always around the program, like came here watching games a few times a year, so it was always cool to see the program kind of develop. And then as I got older and went and played juniors, I was lucky enough to get offered a spot, and it was a pretty easy decision to stay close to home and get to be a part of a great program like Adrian, always competing, has a great standard, represents everything you want in a program. So pretty easy decision to stay close to home.
I would say so. Yeah. I think they didn't have trouble finding a spot for you on the squad. Juniors, people talk about that, and that's kind of the regular path for college hockey players, or whether they go from juniors to pro. It's not as simple as football, where it's like you go to high school, you go to college, and then you go pro, or even basketball. So juniors, did you have to travel all over Canada?
So juniors is always a tough subject to explain to people what you're doing. People outside the hockey world don't really understand it, not like any other sport. But yeah, I had an interesting path. I went to just outside of Calgary, Alberta, and then I played in Fairbanks, Alaska. So that was a really great experience to live in Alaska. Obviously a lot different, but wouldn't change anything about it. Loved being up there for my time. I was up there for a little over a year. And then I finished in Janesville, Wisconsin. That was the last team I played for, but great, all three great experiences and led me to where I am, so thankful for that.
Do you play a lot of teams around Calgary when you were out there?
Yeah, so
Alaska, was there travel with that too?
Yeah, so I played in the Alberta Junior Hockey League, so that was just teams based in Alberta, so not too far of travel, probably like 2 to 4 or 5 hours most of the teams. And then Alaska was pretty significant travel.
Yeah.
There's two other teams in Alaska, so we played them probably like 8 or 9 times each, and then we'd fly down and play teams in Minnesota and Wisconsin. So we flew down at least a few times, which those are pretty brutal travel days, traveling all day. So
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
David, your family obviously interwoven with the Lenawee County community. Did they make time to come up and watch a game or two, or they said we'll just watch it on the stream?
My parents did make it out to Fairbanks one
they
time.
They did.
So.
Wow.
They
good
did make
them.
The trek, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's not an easy travel day. We always joke and say that the trip takes years off your life because it's a long full day of multiple flights, but
it's worth it.
Yeah, wouldn't change it. Yeah. Got to see some pretty amazing things, meet some amazing people, so I loved it.
All right, so you get on campus last year, coaching change, right? Adam Phillips' first year, got Matt Thompson as well, and from the Adrian standard of things, not the season that people were anticipating, but you had a lot of ice time last year. You played quite a bit, and I can imagine a lot of learning took place last year.
Yeah, it's definitely a big change coming from junior playing college hockey. Much different schedule. You're playing a lot fewer games. You're consistently playing every Friday, Saturday, so it's a lot different. But last year for me, it was just a growing year. Got a lot of fortunate enough to get in a position to play right off the start, and you know, did what I could with it, and made better for it.
So then we go from year one to year two. We talk about the another year in the college weight room, and another year with the program. Mm-hmm. Coach Phillips sticking around, and he decided, I guess, that we needed more than one Clark with the program. Your brother comes in and helps out with the assistant coaching. What's it been like? Practice is one thing, but to play in a game where your big bro's on the bench.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty special. It's a unique situation for sure, but I think we both handled it really well. Obviously, I had talks with Philly about it prior to the season, and it's been great so far. I knew it was going to be interesting. You never really know how it's all going to shake out, but it's been good so far. He's doing a great job back there, and I think we both just have a good boundaries and like respect for each other, and I think it works really well.
Yeah, I mean, you see it a lot too. Probably more common with fathers and mothers coaching their children.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a lot of brother-brother stuff. David, let's talk about the season. You're 10-4 so far, 6-2 in the conference, tied for first in the NCHA, which you look up and down, you could argue best conference in D3 men's hockey. Sure. How would you maybe this – the tougher question to answer now coming off the weekend he had, but how would you assess the season so far, 14 games in?
Yeah, we got a really special group, obviously, coming off a weekend where we didn't perform how we wanted to on Friday. Sunday, we thought we played a good game, just didn't get the result. So definitely some adversity to battle for this group, but got a lot of faith in the group, and I think we're really tight, and we know this will just bring us closer together. Like, we believe in each other, and we believe that we have a special group to win a championship this year. So got to just look forward to put that weekend in the past, look forward to trying this coming Thursday and USA on Friday.
David, on the season, 5 goals, 13 assists. That's good for 18 points. Those assists are second on the team, which you would probably expect from a defenseman to pick up a lot of assists. 5 goals. You're good defensively. I've watched you play, but do you kind of view yourself more as an offensive-minded defenseman?
I've always kind of viewed myself as a two-way.
Good answer. If coach is listening, that's a great answer.
Love playing defense. But the goals have been lucky enough. They've found the way in this year, I guess. Never been too much of a goal scorer, but sometimes, you know, you shoot, you get lucky.
So you got to do it, right?
Guys are setting me up in the right spot, so thankful for my good teammates. They're watching too.
Could you talk about your line mate? It's been a minute since I called a game. Are you on with Ben?
Yep, me and Ben.
Ben Loretto. What's it been like? That guy's got a ton of experience.
Yeah, I mean, he's a stud back there. Super easy to play with. We get along really well. I think our games complement each other really well. We always seem to know. We have great chemistry, know where each other's at, know where each other's are going to be. We move the puck great together, so it's really been awesome playing with him for the past. I think I started playing with him in the middle of last year, and we've really just grown every weekend playing. So, it's amazing having a D partner of his caliber.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, got some time with him last year, and now pretty much full time this year. Mm-hmm. From last year to this year, you know, when I talked with your coach, like, hey, what's the roster looking like? They're all back, and we added some guys, right? Yeah. You lost some to graduation, but you're kind of filling in some gaps there in the roster. Yeah. You guys must be just incredibly close. I mean, I in today's college athletics, you know, things don't go well, people leave.
Yeah.
They stuck around this year.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a great culture. Like, it's guys are never really talking about leaving. Like, everyone's all in, like, bought into this program, bought into what we're trying to do here. And yeah, like you said, we got new guys this year who are already stepping up and making a tremendous impact. We got 4 or 5 freshmen who've playing tons of games. We got other guys who stepping up into bigger roles this year and contributing greatly. So,
trying to grab the roster off the top of my head. One of the Johansons, is it?
Yeah.
The defenseman.
Nick Johansson.
That's Nick.
Yeah,
okay.
Nick Johansson.
He was the D1 transfer, right?
Yeah, he came from Bowling Green. He's been unbelievable back there. He's obviously, you can see where that D1 caliber came from. I know he came off a pretty serious injury, illness type thing the past year, so it was good to see him like get back, start playing games, and you can see every game he just keeps getting better for us. He's really a rock back there, solid, and unbelievable in the locker room too. Unbelievable guy, both the brothers.
That was good.
Also
that
cool
was my
to have
next
another
segment,
set of
another,
brothers.
Yeah. You didn't obviously get the opportunity with Carter being a coach.
Yeah.
You wish you could get that chance. I mean, you get to during practice skate with him and stuff, but, you know, to watch the Johansons go after it, you're like, we've done that plenty.
Yeah. Are you saying if we played together?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we played enough mini sticks and other little games.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets pretty competitive between me and my other brother, too, all three of us, so. It'd be cool to be on the same team for once instead of always going against each other in other games.
Yeah, exactly. Another challenging week for the Bulldogs. You're at Trent on Thursday. Then you play the USA National Team Development Program. That's just always a good measuring stick every year to get to play those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trine's going to be, it's a big game for us coming off two disappointing losses to Aurora. Like, we got to bounce back, and I have a lot of faith in the group that we will. Like, we'll answer the bell. So it's an important game for us, even though it's non-conference against Trine. And then, like you said, USA is, you know, they're a national development program. Even though it's exhibition, it's a big game for us, like one that we want to win. We won last year, and hopefully we can get it done again.
All right, David, great talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. Good luck moving forward. I got a couple more games on the calendar to get the cave out there and call some of your games, so looking forward to that.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Once again, that was David Clark with the NCAA men's hockey team at Adrian College. He's a sophomore defenseman from nearby Tecumseh. We are going to take a quick timeout. We're going to switch gears to the NCAA women's hockey team. We got Riley Johnson and Courtney Benn waiting in the wings. We'll get to that right after these messages from Adrian College and Frickers in Adrian. This is the AC All Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Wednesday at 7 and Saturday at 3, bring the family to watch men's basketball. The men's wrestling meet starts at 10 a.m. Saturday, and women's D2 hockey plays Sunday at 1.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2, W243AD Adrian, 96.5 The Cave.
Good evening and welcome back to the AC All Access Show. Just about 7:30 on a Monday night, South Main Street in Adrian, the place to be right here at Frickers. They got the weekday specials, boneless chicken, bone-in chicken, sirloin steak, chicken chunks. That's in order Monday through Thursday. I got it locked down. Well, when you're here almost every day, makes it easy. Yeah. Stacy Mitchell talking to me off mic. We got Josh Mitchell, no relation, back in the studio. I'm your host, Ian Wendt, and we're talking more hockey. We just got back from New York. I'm just kidding. You've been back for a little bit. Riley Johnson and Courtney Benn with the NCAA women's hockey team. Just learning now that this is Riley's second time on the show, and Courtney's first.
Thanks yes. for having us.
That's how you started. There you go. Thanks, Riley. We'll start with you. We'll start with the vet. You're a senior now from nearby Farmington. You transferred in a couple seasons ago. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what's happened this year. Team off to a good start. Ninth in the country, 11-4-0 on the season, 8-0 in conference play. So if you could just kind of give our listeners an overview of how you think the season's gone so far. Obviously, some good competition, some quality wins, and some, if there's such thing as a quality loss, you've had a couple here this year.
Yeah, so we started off hard against Augsburg, which has been one of the better teams that we've played. Starting off with getting swept against, which you never want to see, but we grew from that and we learned from that going into conference play, which helped us get into 8-0. And our conference, we've been kind of blowing through a little bit, which second semester now we will be playing Concordia and St. Norbert. So hopefully playing Gustavus the past weekends and Amherst will prep us for the stronger teams in our conference coming up.
That's right. And I will note, we got, I believe, Lake Forest on the calendar. I'll be heading out there with you. And then the Concordia, Wisconsin trip, got that scheduled. You're home for Norbert, so I'm not going to get that one. And then I'll get your Tryon trip. So I think I kind of figured out some good matchups. The Lake Forest trip's nice. Cold barn, but I deal with it. It's fine. It's radio diva stuff.
I've never been, so
it'll be fun. Oh. Also never been there. So
really? Yeah. You've never been?
Yeah, okay. No, I have not.
It's unique. I like it. It's interesting. Courtney, this year, it looks like you took my advice and you started aiming at the net. You have a rocket shot, and it looks like you've been able to beat some goalies this year.
Yeah, I've definitely started to get it rolling. Like, I struggled a little bit at the beginning of the season. I mean, I had a goal against Augsburg, which I felt like I had a lot of shots on goal, but nothing was really coming, but it's getting there for sure.
It's got to hone in that laser, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it is your senior season from down in Missouri. You transferred in, if people remember, from Elmira College, another D3 program. And, boy, senior year for both of you. It's kind of it, right?
It's sad, yeah.
It's sad.
I don't know if there's fifth years in your future, but it's looking like some head shakes.
Not for me, at least.
No, okay.
Can't speak on Courtney's behalf, but I'll be done after this year.
and second year now with Coach Chad Davis.
Correct.
Last year was probably trying to figure each other out, right? Team that had a lot of experience. Now this year, I went down the roster when I was talking to your coach last Friday, and it's like, well, there's a lot of freshmen and sophomores. And then a handful of seniors. What's it been like? We'll go with Courtney first for this one. Kind of trying to lead this kind of a younger core.
It's definitely different. I mean, obviously, we had a lot of like fifth years and seniors last year kind of lead the way for us. So coming in now, we're the leaders of them. And like, we need to kind of direct how they go throughout their days in hockey and everything. But they really started to adapt really well into like how our program does everything.
Yeah, same for you, Riley.
Yeah, I think it was tough a little bit at first. People see us having a young team as a weakness, but I think we like to see it as a strength because we'll lead them for them to grow in the next 4 years at Adrian College. And not every program is a winning program, so it's hard for them to come in knowing that this is our goal, and our goal is to be top 10 every year. And so I think us leading and having minimal upperclassmen have been hard, but we found our way to navigate through and help them navigate themselves in the next 4 years.
We talked about these early season tests. I looked at what happened out in New York against Amherst, had a lead, thank you Courtney, and then just couldn't hang on late. But you got to look at some positives with that, right? And I was telling some people, like, look, this was like a measuring stick. Like, we're on this level. Like, we are Frozen Four level. We are national championship contender level. Did that kind of help maybe the younger ladies kind of realize, oh, we're not whatever. We're a good team. We can be a really good team, Riley. Is that kind of what you took away, hopefully, from the weekend?
Yeah, I think beating Gustavus the second game was a big eye-opener. Like, okay, we can do this. Like, they're a top program. They've been a top program. So us beating them kind of opened our eyes as a team to, like, okay, we can do this. So I think going into Trinity, which was a tougher game than we've played this year also, and then winning that and then moving on to Amherst and us having the lead is like, okay, we got this. So I think it was a good confidence boost for us, even though we didn't come out with the win, but it was also a lesson learned that, yeah, we're winning with 5 minutes left, but we can't take that for granted. Like, we need to finish the game. So I think us beating them was a good lesson for us, or beating them 1-0 and then coming back and losing was a good lesson for us.
Yeah. Holding it, keeping that lead for as long as you did. You'd like to get that second one in there, but hey, stuff happens. I want to talk about the lines you are on, your line mates. I've heard Riley's line is quick. Who you got with you on either side? You being at center.
So I got Courtney Benn with me and then Paige Pomerleau, which actually just switched. I want to say it was the Amherst game, right? Or was it Trinity?
We played together at Trinity as well.
Yeah. So we started kind of just warmed up with the regular lines, which was me, Emma, and Paige. And then
offense, but that's what I thought you were going to say, that line.
No, so we started. Okay. We did that in warm-ups, and then Chad came to do the starting lineup, and Emma started with a different line, and me and Paige were like, oh, okay, so just changing it up, which is completely fine, and we know how to play with each other. It takes a little bit to get used to, but we weren't worried, and we clicked, and yep, that's Paige and Courtney are my line mates now.
Well, then that answers the question for Courtney. So who did that put who moved to another line? I'm sorry.
Is it Emma, Annalise?
Yeah, Emma, Annalise, and Maddie were together, and then it was Hunter, Carly, and Ava.
All right, so there's some new names for me that you just mentioned, and for Bulldog fans. And as I mentioned, there are younger players on the team, and you did get a couple transfers in. What's it been like? I'll go with Courtney first, kind of meshing that whole group together.
Honestly, they adapted really well, I will say. Obviously, Riley and I both are transfers and kind of took quite a few of them under our wing. Like, Annalise lives in my house, so it was really easy for her to adapt to how Adrian was versus where she came from before. And they really took it with a grain of salt. They wanted to get better, and they wanted to adapt to how Adrian plays hockey.
And they figured it out.
Oh,
I mean, you kind of... And I talked to your goalie, Kira Stack, about that. Just kind of like threw everyone into the fire the first weekend. Like, you schedule those games for a reason. Riley, this year you have 13 goals. That'll work, right? That's not bad. 13 goals and 7 assists. Courtney with 9 goals, 3 assists. Good for 12 points. This is where I mention your stats. And then you give credit to your line mates for making that happen.
Always. You can't do it by yourself, especially the assists and the goals. You always get a pass from someone, or you always pass it for them to finish. So you can't do it without your line mates. So all the credit goes to them.
Yeah.
And now, now with the line mate sitting next to each other, is this going to be the line going forward, do you think? Or are you going to stay on your toes with Chad? You never know.
You never know.
You never know. We practice together today. I mean, we don't play this weekend, so I guess we'll take it day by day and then see what he ends up throwing us out there together or not the next game, but keeps us on our toes.
I got to mention your assistant coach, Hannah McGowan. You're one with her last year, and now you're two. What does she bring, like, during practice? Does she coach a position and Coach Davis coach something? How do they kind of break that down? I know it's unique in the world of hockey. Whoever wants to take that, it's fine.
Well, Hannah usually is more of the D coach, and Chad's more of the forward coach / head coach. Honestly, she's a really good skills coach and does a lot of stuff for us and, like, improving in ways not only, like, personally, but as a line as well.
She's shown you her highlights? Or have you found those in the archive?
Oh, yeah. She had bad style when she was back there.
Back in her days. Hey, my day too.
So we always
class
make
of
sure
15,
to
right?
Never let her down for that. Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, back in standard definition on ACTV. Well, looking forward to got the bye week, and then traveling to Lake Forest, another road trip. Got to ask you about those hockey road trips are something else. Football, you can go 2 hours away and play a bunch of opponents. Hockey, it's different. You've had trips to Wisconsin regularly, New York most recently. What's that travel been like this year specifically?
Yeah, it's been kind of brutal, honestly. We've had a few 10-hour more road trips, which you end up having to leave earlier and stay later. So you have to break it up into 2 days for traveling because the bus can't go more than 10 hours or something like that. So We went to Gustavus and had to leave Wednesday night, and then you get there Thursday afternoon, and then we leave Saturday night and don't get back till Sunday at like 4:30. So it's brutal just in that aspect, but we do have fun on the bus and we have fun in the hotel all together. It's fun staying with your friends, and even staying with people you aren't as close with, you get to know them more. So it's
kind of
good
for
our team, yeah.
Right, you're kind of forced to.
Yeah.
You're all on one bus.
Yeah.
Right.
So
Lake Forest, pretty. I mean, that's like nothing. That's like 4 hours, something like that.
A breeze.
Yeah, it's going to be a breeze compared to this weekend in New York.
Yes. All right. Well, good catching up with both of you. Congrats on the success so far this season, and looking forward to some more Bulldog hockey. But enjoy the weekend off.
Thank you so much.
All right, once again, that was Riley Johnson and Courtney Benn with the NCAA Women's Ice Hockey Team at Adrian College. The Bulldogs off this weekend. They'll head to Lake Forest for some conference games next weekend. We'll have those games right here on 96.5 The Cave. Get more of me out in the greater Chicago area. We'll be back with more of the AC All Access Show right after these words on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Wednesday at 7 and Saturday at 3, bring the family to watch men's basketball. The men's wrestling meet starts at 10 a.m. Saturday, and women's D2 hockey plays Sunday at 1.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Wednesday at 7 and Saturday at 3, bring the family to watch men's basketball. The men's wrestling meet starts at 10 a.m. Saturday, and women's D2 hockey plays Sunday at 1.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2, W243AD Adrian, 96.5 The Cave.
Hello and welcome back to the AC All Access Show, the first one of 2026. I'm your host, Ian Wendt. We have Josh Mitchell running the board back in downtown Adrian about 7:45. It's the place to be, Frickers and Adrian. You're down in the dumps, gloom and doom. That's not the case here. So stop on by, have a good time, drinks, food, and fun. I'm sold. I already had dinner, so I'm pre-sold. Good stuff. Also, I think they're just hiring. Pretty much an ongoing thing. So if you want some part-time hours, get some work in, stop on out. Frickers and Adrian, get yourself an application on South Main Street. We're going to talk men's volleyball. We have the fifth-year head coach. Does that make you sound old?
The guys say so. They definitely, or they could say, "Coach, you're unk now."
Oh man, so. Yeah. Jose Soto joining me. Boy, we're getting that career record up there too. Plenty of games under your belt, 45 and 61, and all things considered, you play in a very good conference, the MCVL. Oh, so yeah. Picking up wins in that league, we know is quite tough. But want to talk about, you know, what you did last year, and most importantly, what you're bringing back for this season.
Yeah, so, you know, we only graduated three guys technically. We got Micah Lowe, who is a fifth year. Unfortunately, couldn't play all of last year because of a lower back injury. And unfortunately for him, it is carrying over to this year. But only graduated three guys. Maxime Gutierrez, who is our French middle. Beck Fieldhaus, who is our outside. And then Zach Molnar, who is also outside right side for us. You know, so three guys. Really, who have left, but we brought in a pretty strong class this year, plus a transfer from our, you know, from Siena Heights, you know, over across town from Adrian as well. So those were a bit like big recruiting class for us this year.
But when you say big, do you mean impactful or big and like you needed impactful to get some numbers?
Impactful. Okay. Very impactful. We got the guy who transferred over from Siena Heights. His name's Dominic Reese. He's from Wisconsin. Lefty, right side hitter. College experience, you know, that's something that incoming freshmen don't have, and him having a year under his belt definitely is propelling our team forward.
I know we play them on the women's side. Do we play them in men's volleyball?
Unfortunately, the reason he transferred over is Siena Heights did cut their program.
They did. Okay.
So all right, they were the first ones to get the cut, and thankfully for us, I guess, you know, he transferred over to us because he was a good player when we played against him. You know, we're hoping he does the same thing for us.
I was gonna say so. That NAIA D3, I know it happens where D3 wins, but in general, it's kind of considered a step up, right, in competition.
And it's hit or generally, miss. Generally, hit or miss. Yeah. I would argue it's 50-50. There's some really, really good NAIAs out there. There's some really, really good D3s. It just depends on the matchup, honestly.
So, Coach, being in your fifth season, this is – it's all you, right? It's, you know, the old school, right? 4 years in,
yep,
they're all your guys. But the way transferring happens now, it's been your team now probably for a couple of years. So do you ever sit back as being unk, you know, described by your players like, this is my program. You know what I mean? You kind of make that switch from I am the coach to this is my program?
Yeah, no, it's really awesome to see just because you look at some of the guys who, like, let's look at my first recruiting class and some big guys who are on the team from my first recruiting class. The big name is Carson Bell. He was a freshman starter from the get-go. We threw the kid right into the fire, and he's been spectacular, and that's not even a good enough word to describe him. He already leads the Adrian College men's volleyball leaderboards in like three or four categories. He's probably up there in like two or three other more. And the big one that is total blocks. He's in first place and he hasn't even played his senior year. So let's see how far he separates himself between, you know, being number one and to the number two guy. So I do look back and I look at, you know, the guys who are seniors this year. I'm like, wow, you were my first recruiting class. I've been here for a while, right? No, yeah. But it's been great to see like the program develop, you know, with, of course, you know, my recruits and seeing them make the impact that, you know, obvious as a coach I want to see.
Right. Is your roster nationwide roster or do you have kind of a regional area? I feel like you're a very all over the board roster, right?
Oh, yeah. We got, you know, we got some internationals as well. You know, I described Maxime Gutierrez, who was my French middle blocker. He graduated this past December, so we're happy for him. He's back in France right now. But we got four Hawaiians, two Spaniards, Floridian, you know, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, Missouri. I'm probably Pennsylvania. I'm probably forgetting something else, but we're pretty much nationwide.
Wow, does that show to the? This will sound old school. Having the internet to recruit, right? I mean, kids put film out there, and you find them, whether it's on their socials or on some recruiting site. Is that kind of how it goes, or do the Hawaiians recruit themselves?
No, it's about 50-50 right now, you know. And everybody asks me about the Hawaiians, you know. They're like, oh, why would they ever want to leave Hawaii? Well, they do want to experience some four seasons, you know. You know, there's only so much they can do on the island. They don't get as cold as weather as we do. I'm sure their cold versus our cold is completely different. But from what the conversations I've had with them, they love seeing the snow. They love having a fall. They love seeing a spring. They love seasons, which is kind of probably why they come out here. The reality is there's only one program in Hawaii. That's University of Hawaii at Manoa. And not everybody can go Division I, you know? So, you know, the next things are like D3, NAIA, even D2. So they have to make their way onto the mainland to play some collegiate volleyball. And thankfully I'm thankful that they're able to choose Adrian College and, you know, help the team, you know, move forward.
I'll never forget when I was a student and the football team brought in a lot of kids from Florida.
Yeah.
And that first snow, they were all out there like, what's going on? Right. Like, this is crazy. And I'm just in my dorm going, it's snowing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's the football team. You know, they haven't seen that.
Typical Midwesterners of us, like, oh, yeah, this is normal.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah. So, expectations for the season. Do the coaches do the preseason poll, I would assume?
For our conference. Yeah, we kind of vote on it, yeah.
So, they think you're about middle of the pack.
Yeah. It just shows, you know, we had a pretty rough season last year, and you know, and the guys who are spearheading this year's season, I want to say, is my junior class. They are the ones who, like, you know, were like, coach, that was bad, and I'm like, yeah, no kidding, right?
I was there,
I was there with you, and so they've been spearheading the change, you know, the team chemistry, the team bonding, making sure that everybody is on time, you know, early is on time is late, kind of stuff. Making sure everybody wears the same stuff at practice. You know, they're the ones who are like, if we want to be a good team, we got to do the little things well. And that was part of the conversation, you know, at the end of their sophomore season was like, hey, how do we make this better? And the junior class, like, everybody had like their two cents to say, but the junior class is really the ones who are like, coach, we're going to make a change from the start of the school year. You know, we're going to welcome all the new guys. We're going to do some team bonding. We're going to go bowling, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, great. That's awesome. Show me. And they have. You know, they've done a fantastic job, not just the juniors. I'm giving them the credit because they are the spearhead right now. But everybody on the team has done a fantastic job of making sure that this year is not a repeat of last year.
And then I've had a chance to talk to a lot of coaches, and you hear them, you know, whether they're doing an interview or post-game or pre-game. Coaches would rather their team be player-led, student-led.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously they have influence and it's still their program as the coach, but if you can get them to buy into their own product, I guess, and like that makes coaching all that much more enjoyable and like you're bought in. You are bought in.
Oh,
this is your job.
Yeah,
I mean, you're the coach.
Yeah, this is
you're
my life.
Obviously bought in, right. And like you're here, you're at school and you're a student, number one. You're also an athlete, so that personal accountability has to be nice to see
side. It's a breath of fresh air, and it's happened in the past. You know, it's not like, oh, this has never happened. It's just, you know, last year it seems we lost our way a little bit, or maybe there was just an expectation that it was going to happen, you know, organically, and it didn't. It needs something. It's something that you have to put work into, you know. So it's fantastic to see the guys just value what we have going on.
I've had a chance to watch and call, which is quite difficult, by the way, volleyball games on the radio.
Right.
So in that, I'm trying to learn as much as I can on the scene. I didn't play it in school. I really appreciate sports I can't play. And volleyball is one of them. Equestrian, famously one of those as well. I don't know how I would do on a horse. How do you... The common person might just say that seems pretty simple.
Right.
It's really not.
Oh yeah.
How do you flip something like that around and start winning some more matches?
Well, one of the things that I always, you know, it's part of my coaching philosophy is know a little bit about everything, but know a lot about one thing, which that one thing, you know, is your specific position. You know, I'm not just coaching setters or liberos or middles. I'm coaching volleyball players, and if they want to be good volleyball players, they need to know every aspect of the game. So that's what we're teaching. And to the common person's like, oh, you know, something, a stereotype, for example, is middles can't pass a ball. That's been something that notoriously has been known. And I say no to that. You know, middles, you better be comfortable taking the first ball. You know, so it's something that we're actively teaching, and I think that's why, you know, to the common person, it might be a little bit challenging because that's something like again, it's a stereotype, and I'm breaking away from that. I want my players to be comfortable doing all aspects of the game. So, and it's showing. The guys also enjoy it. You know, they bought into it and they love it, and they'll be like, Coach, can I play this? Can I do that? I'm like, you can, but you're, you know, a setter. You're a middle. You're not going to do another position. As much as I trust you, because I know you can, we have other people who that's their job that they know a lot about.
I've always wondered in quick-moving sports, this is a quick-hitting sport in volleyball, how the heck do you communicate? You know, like on a basketball court, you got 30 seconds to shoot. Well, you're communicating all the time, offensive and defense.
Yeah.
That ball's coming at you quick
on
a court. How do you communicate in that moment?
Well, it's a lot of like, hey, get ready and go kind of moments. You know, we do communicate a lot, you know, in between points, you know, whether we lose or win the point, get together, huddle. Hey, quick 2 seconds of feedback. This is what we got to look at. This is what our opponents have on the other side. This is what we're running. This is our offense. Perfect pass. This is what we're doing. Free ball. Communicate it. You know, every spot, every part of the game is communicated, especially in between the points. That's where you have the most amount of time to communicate. You know, think of it like kind of like football. You know, they're not communicating during the play. They're communicating before the play and after the play. And that's kind of like what volleyball is. Volleyball is a little bit, you know, I would say faster in the sense of like it's all above the net. And 1 second the ball is being hit at you at like 60 miles an hour. And the next second, you know, we're in between plays. So it's we try to take advantage of that kind of like dead time in between points.
Okay. So you rely on your instincts and your training.
No, look, sometimes, right? Sometimes that's all you do. sometimes my players look at me sometimes like, Coach, what was I supposed to do there? I was like, do the best you can. Because sometimes that ball is just coming at you really fast and you don't have time to really make an adjustment. You just react.
Well, Coach, this season you're going to start with some travel.
Oh, yeah.
Head out east to Boston for a couple games, and then, well, three, and then you get a trip to Chicago.
Yep. Five very challenging matches. Rankings came out today, actually, nationally. LaSalle's receiving votes. That's our first match to open up the season. Then Riviere and Curry are going to be, you know, some good opponents for us to play out there. But then when we go to Chicago, you know, North Park's one of those teams that they're gritty and they're in a tough conference, the CCIW. I think, you know, four of those teams are probably nationally ranked, if I remember correctly. Three for sure, four maybe. And then we play Dominican, who I believe they were in the top 15. I believe that they were. And I looked at it this morning. I briefly looked it over and I was like, oh, we're not there. But it's good to see where our opponents that we're going to be playing against are at. And I'm a big fan of playing a tough schedule.
Speaking of that schedule, that will include obviously your conference opponents. People out there listening that may not be familiar, who are some maybe schools that people would know about that we're going to see this year?
Yeah, Trine's always a big one in our conference. You know, I think we have a big rivalry with them, and I think that's across the school of Adrian. You know, so not just men's volleyball, but that's just Adrian is in general. Olivet's in our conference, Calvin's in our conference, but if you look a little bit farther. Baldwin Wallace, they're ranked, I believe, 15th to start off the season. Mount Union, receiving votes. Wittenberg, receiving votes, you know, and that's all in our conference. So we have a tough conference, you know, and no one, and unfortunately, fortunately, depends on the way you want to look at it. It's a single round robin. Every game is heavy. Every game's impactful. Every game is circled on our calendar because we need to go to fight against these guys.
That you do, and some great team bonding opportunities going out to Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And then over to Chicago. So best of luck in the non-conference and a meat grinder of league action later on this year. But good to catch up with you, Unc, for the men's volleyball team. Coach Jose Soto joining me on the ACL Access show. So thanks again. I'm sure we'll have some of your players on during the season.
Oh, yeah. We'll make sure of it.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
All right. So that's going to do it for us today here on the show. It's just about 8 o'clock already. I'd like to thank everyone out here at Frickers for making it a good time, as always, on a Monday night. Our studio engineer, Josh Mitchell. Our sales extraordinaire, Stacy Mitchell. Mike Prang with sports information. Of course, Coach Soto. We had Courtney, Riley, David, and Mike Prang, of course, on the air with us today. With that, we'll send it back to our 96.5 The Cave studios for our regular Westwood One programming. For from Frickers and Adrian for the ACL Access Show. I'm Ian Wendt on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2, W243 AD, Adrian, 96.5 The Cave.